Welcome to another episode of Views from the Box, fresh off that snooze fest. Nana, how are you doing?
I'm feeling good, fam. I don't care if it was a snooze fest. We ain't here to entertain you, motherfuckers, fam. That was a
Look,
good point.
that's not football for me. What was it? Eight centre backs, two double pivots from both coaches. Bro, if this is the future of football, we're in trouble. But
Your GOAT Mourinho, yeah, is a pioneer of this shit, fam. That man.
look, listen, Jose Mourinho also played entertaining football. But the thing is, I said it on Twitter today. One guy was saying our phenomenal performance. Look, if Jose Mourinho did this, it's not phenomenal. If Allegri does this, it's not phenomenal. It's a good result, but we don't need to lie about the performance today. But let's.
Yeah, fam, but today, what was the game for the defenses? Both teams going forward didn't do enough. I feel like for Arsenal on our side, when we got the ball, we didn't take care of it enough. You get what I'm saying? Because against City, yeah, when you get the ball,
You were poor on the ball, not even
yeah.
taking it. Like the vast majority of your attacking players, if not all of your attacking players, were dreadful on the ball for the large part of that game.
Yeah, because against City, yeah, when you get the ball, you shouldn't rush the final ball. Play it around a bit, pick out your spots, and then try to go for killer pass. Like Odegaard, I was impressed with his performance today. Like obviously, big game. Like off the ball defensively, he didn't
Wait,
hide.
what were you impressed with? Because on the ball, he wasn't all that.
No, on winning
I'm not
well,
gonna lie to you.
I'm talking about he competed for him. Like compared to last season. Last season, yeah, we didn't compete. It was men against boys. Today, yeah, final third on the ball was poor, but off it defensively, solid. No one hid. Everyone tried their best for him. Even Saka, who was crap today, tried his best defensively for him. Like if you're gonna be good going forward, make sure defensively you're doing your work and you're doing it well. That's what I was impressed with. No
He
one
came
was.
off at the perfect time though, because a couple minutes before he came off, he was losing the ball in
Yeah, he was shattered. He was shattered. He was shattered, man.
sloppy
Yeah,
areas
he was shattered,
that
fam.
nearly cost you guys a game.
Yeah, he was absolutely shattered, fam. Absolutely shattered, fam. But today I let him off. But Luton, I'll drop him for Luton, to be honest, fam. Drop him for Luton. If it's true that he's still carrying that little niggling injury that apparently was carrying that England couldn't select him, fine. But if so, don't play him against Luton, fam. Otherwise, I'll be looking at him funny for this game, bruv. Like if I see him play against Luton, yeah, and he balls out, then I'll be like, fool, what was this against City? Because you're telling me that a 4-day turnaround was the difference between a good performance today and a good performance against Luton, fam. Like,
Look, I think you're being a bit too nice to Saka. I'll be honest. I know he's your boy. I think this was a poor performance from
oh,
you.
performance. That's why I said, yeah.
But
If you play
the thing
against
is,
Luton and plays
it
well.
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens against Luton, because the performance we saw today, we saw it against Porto and we saw it against Manchester City. And he needs to stop these performances in
He
crunch
didn't
time.
play in the rest fixture in October. He was out.
No, Man City last season at Etihad.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
he was injured in the reverse fixture. I know that, but last season at Etihad, the exact same performance. Ake locked him up in the first half. Gvardiol was having a field day with him, and Porto at the Emirates, he didn't play well. Yes, if he whatever happens against Luton for me doesn't change how he performed today. So we're not gonna do that with Saka. I'm not gonna lie.
No, that's just for me personally. For me to, I'll be looking way more. I'll be more pissed with him if he decides to play well and turn up against Luton. I'll be like, so it wasn't injury related then. It was just you having a bad day again. So I'm watching him closely for the running fam. But in terms of our other guys here, yeah, it was a game for the defenders. So Saliba got out of the match, which was,
It could have either been him or Gabriel. I think Gabriel was a better player, because I think defensively they locked up Erling
yeah,
Haaland.
as a team, but
As a
Gabriel had a better
team,
individual performance.
they took turns, the physical battle, every high ball, a player would get tight and then the other player would sweep back. It was like an old-fashioned centre-back partnership. But I think on the ball, Gabriel made less mistakes than Saliba. There were
Yeah,
times when
Gabriel was better.
Saliba was being very silly. So that's why I'd give it to Gabriel. But Saliba still played well today. And I agree with you. Today, if we were to look at the top eight best players on the pitch,
All defenders.
they'll probably all be defenders, if we're being honest,
Both.
across
From
both
both
sides.
sides. Yeah, from both sides.
Because Gvardiol, like I said, with Saka, he locked him up. Well, to be fair, we'll get on to the City players after finishing off with Arsenal. But Gvardiol, Ake, well, Ake came off, Ruben Dias, Akanji, Ben White, and the Arsenal two centre backs. I think those six players,
Yeah,
six.
also, Kivu held his own for 65 minutes, considering that against Chiku Wingers he struggles. Like he didn't strip too much. He
He
held his own.
didn't strip too much, but I feel like if City, this final ball in the first half was better, more light would have been shown on Kivio. Because three or four times he got done very easily with simple one-twos. Very simple one-twos. And I was just thinking, bro, you're a center back. Tracking runners should be your bread and butter. Second half, he did a lot better, but first half, three or four times, KDB was getting in behind him a bit too easily, in my opinion.
Yeah. And to be honest, I also had two chances to nick the game. The cross from Saka, whereby Havertz and Jesus were nowhere to be seen for the cutback. Like, you see Saka on the right, about to whip in the ball. 9 times out of 10, Saka will put the ball in the right space. Why are you not anticipating? Like, you know your teammate. That was annoying. And Trossard, the great ball from Odegaard.
His first touch took him out wide. His first touch let him down.
Yeah, his first touch let him down. Otherwise, he would have laid off Martinelli. But the first touch forced him to take the shot because it took him off course. But outside that, hey, here's what it is. We take the point and just do the next 9 games as it comes from. Right now, the memo is win every game until Spurs away. Because Spurs away will take us to the final 4 games, if I remember.
Yeah, but I think looking at Spurs away is a bit too far, because right now you have a game every 3 days for a while. So I feel like you have to take it one game at a time.
No, but I'm just saying that the memo is
win
every game up until you go Spurs. You don't want to drop points in games whereby you should really get 3 points. That's what I'm trying to say.
100%. I feel like the game against Luton is a game that you definitely need to be getting.
Also, opportunity to rotate.
Exactly, and an opportunity to boost your goal difference, because you're playing before Liverpool, who are top of the league, so you can go back to being top of the league. Obviously, we expect Liverpool to beat Sheffield United, but you still want to put pressure on them before you play Brighton away from home Saturday night. So even though I didn't like the game, I think the way you guys approached it was good. You stifled City. City didn't have any clear-cut chance today, which is what you want against City at the Etihad.
Oh, yeah. Can I say one thing? I think in future, Arteta will be more confident going blow for blow with Man City if he has more explosive attackers to play with. Because right now, Martinelli is our only explosive attacker. If we had like an explosive forward, for example, Osimhen, despite what I say about him, but it's what's best on the market available. If you had like an Osimhen available plus, let's say, a Neto off the bench, I think Arteta will be more confident in going blow to blow with Man City. I think that he doesn't want to go blow to blow, because he knows that City will be way more clinical than us if it becomes like a, you know, Liverpool Man City type game whereby both sides are creating loads of chances, both sides are super clinical.
I also think he'd want better players on the ball to go blow for blow against Manchester City, because away from home, because you said you guys weren't treating the ball well. City were pressing you guys into submission. You were just making silly mistakes, just playing blind balls up front to nobody. So I think that as well, on top of your explosive attackers, will lead Arteta to be more adventurous against City. But look, let's see. He got the result that was needed. We said on the other podcast that we went on Wednesday, three in midfield. You guys check that out, by the way, that Arsenal need to avoid defeat today. I think a win would have been good.
It wouldn't be perfect, but at the end of the day, it's not this game that will cost you the title, fam.
It's definitely not. You just want to, like we said before, both of our games against City, if you want to guarantee winning the league, beating City guarantees or at least gives us a better chance over City. Because now, if we would have beaten City, we'd be 2 points further away from you than we are now. Yeah, if you would have beaten City, you would have been tied on points with us. You'd been top of the league. So that's what I mean by beating City for both of us, especially Arsenal today. But look, City are still a good team. Despite all the criticism that they get this season, they showed today that they're a good team. We're listening to the Odegaard post-match interview. He said we were deeper than we wanted to be. Yeah. So that means you guys did not actually come to City to be that deep. So for City to force a team as good as Arsenal to be that deep, also haven't been that deep all season. I think the last time Arsenal were that deep was when you played City last season. So they're still a good team. And I still wouldn't rule them out until it's mathematically impossible for them to win the league personally.
Yeah, yeah, like today, that's why I didn't get Carragher and Neville saying that Arsenal have to win today, otherwise out of the title race. Because it's not like we were winning to go 6 points clear of City with 9 games to go, or City were winning today to go 8 points clear of Arsenal per se. Today was more about, like, no matter the result today, it was you couldn't just say that the title was not going to be decided today. No. Because
it definitely wasn't going to be decided today, but I feel like whatever clip that was put on for Carragher on that overlap thing didn't do him justice, because the full thing was he'll talk about the psychological effects.
Wait,
City
I understand
beating
that. I
you
understand
would have been
the
a psychological blow on Arsenal. That cannot be denied.
Yeah.
You beating City is a psychological blow on City. If we beat City, that's a psychological blow. Those things cannot be denied. Psychological advantages in this stage of the season can never be underestimated.
Yeah, true. I hear that. I hear that as well. So, would you say today the draw that Arsenal got from City, who'd be more happier? I know Arsenal would be happier here, but
Arsenal, definitely Arsenal, because
how do you think City are feeling right now? Do you think they're feeling frustrated? Do you think they're feeling
definitely frustrated because they played against the two biggest rivals and they didn't win. Just like we said, we had to beat City, both Liverpool and Arsenal. City also had to beat us for it to be in their hands. If City beat both Liverpool and Arsenal, they'd be top of the league now, and then you'd expect City to run away with it because they've been there, done that. But City didn't win. They weren't threatening. Even in the game against Liverpool, they weren't threatening. Against you, man, they weren't threatening with all the ball that they had. And it just extends the very poor record against the top traditional top six. They've only won two, and that was against a poor United side.
Yeah.
Against a top five team in the league, they haven't won any games. So I think that's why they're frustrated at the moment. They have to win every single game. Like,
Oh, yeah. Margin for error for them is literally
it's
zero now.
very, very slim. A draw is a killer for them. And they play Villa at home next, which is
Yeah,
another five team.
also, they still have to go to Spurs away, which is their bogey ground for some reason. Like, no matter how amazing City are, Spurs always seem to give them a game at White Hart Lane, which is weird. And also, both of you start to go away to Fulham. Fulham has been a massive problem this season. For some reason, their mid-block is really causing the bigger teams problems, which is nuts. Because they almost nicked a point from you guys at Anfield. They
Yeah.
took care of us. They nicked a point off us at...
They took 4 points off you, man, this season.
Yeah. And also, at Etihad, if it wasn't for the dubious red card and the offside goal that Man City scored, it could have been a closer game. I remember that game.
But second half, City ran away with it.
Yeah, I mean, they ran away, but yeah. the first half, they got the red card and they got the panic and they got their offside goal that shouldn't have counted to go into half time 1-0 up. So Fulham have been a problem this season. So it's all to play for in the final nine games, man. It's all to play for. Nothing has been said today. It's just a reshuffle of the league table, and I see a lot of twists and turns. Like as I said, nothing's been sorted today. Moving forward for Arsenal, win every game, same for Liverpool. But before we move on to Liverpool, yeah, let's talk about Man City's attackers today. KDB. What do you make of KDB's performance today? And do you think
I finally agree with you. He's definitely physically finished. There was times where the old KDB would have gotten away from players where he got the ball in transition and he got dealt with very easily. The quality of his decision making was pretty poor, and him being physically finished made him to be a bit slower in tighter situations in the final third. I feel like if that was prime KDB, City create two or three clear-cut chances today. I'm not saying they score, I'm not saying they win, but they create clear-cut chances. So for me today,
bro,
was
I'm not gonna lie,
he finished.
Pete KDB is taking the ball in midfield, dribbling and smacking him on top bins in this game. Remember I said
there was a lot of times where he had the ball in transition. A lot of times.
And could have easily old KDB. It reminds me of his goal against Chelsea 2 seasons ago, where he got the ball from the halfway line, brushed off Kante, cut in, and lashed one past Mendy. But we have not seen KDB do that for a while now. So yeah, man, maybe his legs are finally gone. We thank God, because this animal is 33 in July, bruv. The time had to come for him to lose his legs.
Yeah, it had to come, and the hamstring injury has just accelerated the process. I feel like for Man City, they just need to find a way to, I'm not going to say replace him because you can't replace an all-timer, but replace his contribution to the team. You would have thought it would have been Phil Foden, just like we said Saka was poor today. Foden was poor today. They both got hooked. Thing is, like, I'll be honest, I think last season we focused on the Saka versus Foden debate. We both said that Saka was world-class. You might still think that Saka is still world-class.
No, this season I said that he has to have a good running in the top Euros here before I can push the agenda for him.
But for me, I think this game epitomizes why we have to relax on most players.
Yeah.
Big game, decisive game. And if they are as good as what people are hyping them up to be, they find a way. Both players find a way to affect the game.
Yeah.
And either of them did.
That's quickly, if I remember correctly, young Rooney, young Ronaldo, even if they were playing on one hamstring, we see Ronaldo play on one knee and drag Roma to the Champions League final, Sam. And those are flipping levels, Sam. Henry on one
Forget that because like that's them established. Think about Rooney and Ronaldo 06, 07. They were the Batman and
Yeah.
Robin for United winning the league. And I don't know, I think they were 22 and 20,
21, 21, 22. They were
21,
younger than Saka and
22.
Foden.
Younger than what Saka and Foden are. And the way that people are talking about Saka, the way people talk about Foden, they're talking about as if they're young players playing at that level. They're simply not.
Yeah,
They're very
they're
good
close.
players. Don't get it to
Yeah, tier below.
They're elite young players, but they're not elite in the wider scheme of football. So I think today epitomized that for players. And that is fine. That is, they're still good players, but maybe we might need to relax. Yes, we went overboard for the loyal listeners, but we're not afraid to admit when we're wrong.
Yeah, of course, because this season, yeah, it's showing that the lowest is football team. Because to be fair, it took Robin what towards like late 20s to be the guy that we know today at Bayern. He went to Real Madrid and flopped. He was bright at Chelsea, but he was injury prone, and Chelsea just gave up on him and sold him to Real Madrid. So yeah, man, there's a lot of time left. And if you look through the history of the game, yeah, not everyone is elite in the early 20s. Like
Yeah.
took Henry till the age of 24 when Arsenal when he won his first title with Arsenal to be that guy. Because he was bubbling for 2 seasons, then the season Arsenal won the league, he shot up. I think it was like 24 league goals, 8 assists in the 01-02 season. He had like 35 world comps. That's when he shot off at age of 24. So for Saka, he has 2 more years left. For Foden, he has a year left before we can expect and can and demand those type of performances from them.
Exactly. So let's see what happens. But I just feel like Rio Ferdinand, especially, and fans on Twitter, they just need to slow down with these players. Let these players develop. Let them breathe. They're gonna have bad games. It's all part of developing. We've seen it. We've seen it with greats in the past. We've seen it with good players now, and we're gonna see it with good young players in the future.
To be fair, I want to pick up Bernardo as well. What do you think of Bernardo's performance? I think it was City's most threatening
He
player
was
in that game.
definitely City. I think him and Rodri, in terms of like going forward, were City's better players. You could see Bernardo was on it with his first run at Kivior. He's a wonderful player, and I feel like when we talk about underrated, Bernardo's definitely up there in terms of most underrated players. Because there was a time where another popular podcast were doing best XI for the top three teams in the Premier League. He wasn't making a lot of them. Leading up to this game, Man City versus Arsenal, best combined team. Bernardo Silva wasn't making fun of
Wait,
them.
quickly, when we did our Copa versus Euros start 11 year, was he even starting for?
He wasn't starting, but he was part of the players that we said that we would consider for. And then we also called him one of the world-class players that were in Europe's midfield options. But I feel like Bernardo Silva, he's a joy to watch. He was one of the few players that his decision making in the final third, yes, he wasn't making those threatening balls, but he was always making the right decision at all times. And Rodri today just showed why he's the best defensive midfielder in the world. This is not me putting any slight on Declan Rice. So if anyone thinks that I'm not, Rodri
This
was just
pod
imperious.
did this pod maintained it a while ago that Rice is second firmly behind Rodri firm. Like there's no debate. Rice is firmly behind Rodri firm. Like
And
Rodri has 4 years, 5 years on the Declan Rice here at the elite level.
today showed that there were times where Arsenal would press Rodri and he didn't budge. He was still
And but it was so annoying. It was so
he'll still
annoying.
make the right pass. It'll be a case where Odegaard would do a very good blindside press, and you're thinking, okay, he's lost the ball. Boom, the ball's away, and you're thinking, bruh, Odegaard is like, I know how you feel. Like when your players are close, you just put your head down. You're like, run,
Fam,
run out of the
there were
game.
so many times in the second half, I was thinking, yes, this is a 2-on-1. And this prick here just plays around the side here and sit on the attack. I was like, fuck, man. Like, come on, one mistake. Come on.
And don't underestimate how good he was at City, maintaining pressure and keeping pinned in. I feel like, if I'm going to credit anything about this game, because like I said at the start, I hated watching it. This was the best I've seen City at pinning a good team back.
Yeah, for a while.
I don't think I've seen City do that for a very long time. And Rodri played a big part. His interception stopping Arsenal from breaking out was very good. So yeah, Bernardo Silva and Rodri, if I'm going to praise any offensive players from either team, it'll probably be those two.
Yeah,
And
100%.
Rodri showed why. Sorry to cut you off, but Rodri showed why if any City player is going to win Player of the Year, it has to be him.
That's Rodri. That's
I get
Rodri,
why they
bro.
were pushing the Foden
Nah, nah, nah,
because he's
nah, nah.
English, but if we're talking about the actual best player in Manchester City this season, It's Rodri. Look at his unbeaten record. Look
It's
at
not that, yeah. Look at the big games that City have had here, and he's the one who's won the points. He almost won the game at Chelsea, if not for the penalty they conceded. He got them a
equalizer against Chelsea as well at home.
Yeah, like Rodri on every big occasion, yeah, turns up for Man City, fam. Big or small, he's their guy. And for the media, yeah, to blindside him and say, oh, folding player of the year, Man City in the league, yeah, that was nasty. That was very, very nasty.
For me, what was nasty is the fact that, like, not even being mentioned. If
Yeah.
it was Foden, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. And I think that was when Foden scored a hat-trick against Brentford and not too long after scored two against United. So recency bias. But Rodri has been class this season. When Rodri's not playing, City lose. And when Rodri's not playing well, City don't play well.
Yeah.
So
He's the heartbeat. Like, we've seen Man City without Rodri. We've seen Man City with Rodri. And the audacity of the British media to try to say that Foden's their most important player. Fair enough, Foden was in a great run of form, but Rodri is the one who lays foundation for Foden to have those type of games. You think if Foden's unavailable against Man U, you think Man U don't throw them maybe a point? That Rodri is very important to Man City. We saw Man City at the Emirates without Rodri. They couldn't pin us back as well as they did today.
Yeah.
Massive difference. And Foden played that game as well. And
Yeah.
He was also anonymous in that game as well.
Yeah.
So there's levels, man.
Every City loss has come without Rodri. Every City poor performance with him playing, he hasn't played well. If you look at City's big moments last year in the Champions League, who gets the opener against Bayern? And that game was tight, by the way. I know they went on to win 3-0, but that game was a lot tighter than a 3-0. And Rodri, banger, who scores the winner to win them the first ever Champions League and seal off the treble? Rodri. So, yes, they've lost players like Ilkay Gundogan. They lost Riyad Mahrez. But I feel like players like Bernardo Silva, Rodri, will keep Man City in the title race. And look, on the trend of attackers, we need to talk about Erling Haaland, bro. We need to talk about...
Another game, Saliba and Gabriel slap him up, taking turns, just slap him around the head for him. Like, Haaland was pissed. Gabriel was like, I'm your daddy.
He was rattled because he was getting to verbals with Gabriel. And yes, it's another game with him being locked up by them, but it's another big game with him just being anonymous. And Henry made a very good quote. I'm not going to say it word for word, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Strikers who cannot create for themselves, I'll be honest, are the most annoying types of strikers. Because unless you have a team that's creating you 3, 4, 5, 6 chances a game, which no team does, you're going to be easier to mark out the game.
Yeah. Also, creating multiple chances for you per game, it can't happen every game, especially in a big game.
Exactly.
In a big game, yeah, you're only going to get, what, one or two chances. Because if I remember correctly, one game sticks out for me for Henry, 0-4, 0-5, the 2-2 against Chelsea. He scores a free kick and he scores in the first minute from a knockdown from Reyes. Both chances weren't clear-cut chances. They were literally moments of brilliance. And he almost won us that game because I think we were 1-0 up, then 1-1, then we went 2-1 up and Chelsea equalised.
2-2.
Yeah, he almost won us the game. So Henry, yeah, he knows what he's talking about because he's done it in those moments. If I remember correctly, the hat-trick he bagged against Liverpool in the Invincible season, 2-1 down.
Yeah.
He just goes on one year and just runs through the whole Liverpool team, makes it 4-2, clinches the game. So there's levels to this shit. And Haaland, yeah, it's not because he can't, it's down to his physique. He ain't. Those players that create for themselves, yeah, are quite agile. They got oil in their hips. For example, Aguero, for him to shift a yard there to blast one near post, agility. We know about Henri, Samuel Eto'o, blistering pace, or one touch.
Luis Suarez.
Like
great attackers where even if they're not scoring goals, they are going to make an effect on the game. Like the best example I can give is Luis Suarez in the 13-14 season. People will talk about his record against the big six teams. Go and watch the 5-1 when we beat Arsenal, how well he played. Go and watch the City game when we played 3-2. He was still affecting those games. He wasn't anonymous. Now, I'm not saying Erling Haaland is a crap player. He's still one of, if not the best strikers in the world. And he's going to be one of the greatest players in this generation and one of the greatest strikers we've ever seen. But he's getting easier to mark out of big games. Last season, FA Cup semi, FA Cup final, Champions League semi, Champions League final, no goals. And the performances weren't great in all of those fixtures. So it's something that City need to look at.
Also, bear in mind, yeah, defenders aren't allowed to be as rough as they were back in the day. These all-time greats here were coming up against defenders here who were allowed to kick their ankles 3, 4, 5 times, even 10 times before the ref would even produce a card. So, especially in an era where the attackers are protected more, Haaland should really be doing better for a player of his caliber. obviously, as sometimes during the season, yeah, it has improved a bit, but it's only been against the smaller teams or against defenders that he can bully. Now, yeah, he has to replicate that link-up game against the better defenders. And 3 games in a row, Community Shield, Emirates, Etihad, he's been locked up by physically imposing defenders. Van Dijk did the same thing 2 weeks back, locked him up, physical game. And
The
he's like
only
Haaland, he doesn't enjoy when defenders give it back to him,
nah,
when
the
defenders
only
are elbowing him in the ribs, in his ear, biting his ankles. He gets easily rattled, man. He has to improve that, but it probably comes with experience, to be honest.
yeah, like I don't think he was probably experiencing that in the Bundesliga, and
Course not, fam.
if he develops that in the Premier League, then bro, it's curtain. But City need that from him because they have Spurs away. They're gonna need him in that game. To be fair, Spurs give up more chances
Yeah,
than Arsenal do,
but
but
just
he
like
still.
just see as a team don't
Yeah,
seem to play while alone. That's
at
the issue.
Whitehall Lane. So he City need to get over that. He needs to get over that because even if he gets the chances, he can't move like he did against Chelsea. Because against Chelsea, he could have gotten a hat trick, and then he's going to play
Actually,
against.
could have got five.
He's playing against Real Madrid. You're talking about physically imposing defenders who are rattlers. Eder Militao is one of the best
Very
physically
important.
imposing defenders in the world, and Rudiger is one of the biggest rattlers. You saw what he did. What he did to Haaland at the Bernabeu last year. He locked him up. So, for City to win the league, for City to retain the Champions League, Haaland is one of the big players, and he needs to get over that for City to stand a chance of winning one of the big trophies.
Yeah, man. But as we said, man, Haaland, I think, will come with experience. Because even Haaland, he's not 24, is he?
Wait, let me actually check.
But I think he's still at 22, 23, bro.
That's a crazy thing because, like, we're talking like. He's still a very young player in this game, and he's already one of the best. Erling Haaland is 23. He's turning 24 this July, which is crazy that he's this good, this young, and this consistent.
As
But
remember, I said, yeah, 24 seems to be the age whereby the best players that we've seen just go up another level. Like, it's nuts. As I mentioned earlier, Henry went up a level in our double season, his first ever league
Gerrard,
Champions League.
0-4-0-5, he was 24.
One Champions League. Lampard, Chelsea's first title when he was 24.
If he's the same age as Gerrard, then yeah, he was 24, 25.
Yeah.
Daniel Sturridge, 13, 14, he was 24. There's definitely a lot more example. I'm pretty sure Harry Kane's breakthrough season, he was around the 24, 25
Yeah,
age.
when he became that
That gap.
fearsome. Yeah. Yeah,
So,
so Haaland has basically next season we should expect to see a more complete Haaland fan, with
we should be
things up as
able to
well.
see improvements because at the end of the day, he'll be what, 24, 25? He's
Yeah.
at the start of what you'd expect.
As his prime.
At prime, so he still has things to work on to become one of the best strikers ever. He's in terms of goal scoring, he's already up there with the greats,
Yeah, it's
but
just the overall game that he needs to improve on.
exactly. But for him to sit on the table with the absolute greats,
Yeah,
let's talk about
RVP, like
21st century, your Henrys, your Luis Suarez.
even RVPs.
RVP is better all round game. Ooh, who's better, RVP or Erling Haaland?
I'm going to remember the clips I sent you,
I
bro.
prefer strikers like Robin van Persie. So for my bias, I will always go for van Persie because he's technically more sound than Erling
Also,
Haaland,
quickly,
and
yeah,
he can play for himself.
RVP would have way more numbers in the Premier League, yeah, if it wasn't so injury prone in his first 10, first 5 years, bro. Remember, I sent you the 0607 graphic. He had 11 goals in 22 games, and he was injured for the season after we played the Man U game when we beat them 2-1.
I know. I agree with you. He will definitely would. And like I said, I would probably go for RVP
Yeah.
because I like that type of striker. But then, bro, no matter what type of strikers we like, Haaland's goal scoring record is undeniable. He's reached 50 the quickest out of every single player that's played in the Premier League. He broke the goal scoring record in the Champions League. He's got a hat trick on his debut. Only Wayne Rooney has done that. His Champions League goal scoring record is freakish. So that's why I had to
Okay,
hesitate.
cool.
Yeah,
Cool.
like,
It's respectable.
yeah.
He also has his he can go machine for machine stats wise from
Of
there.
course, of course.
Yeah.
Haaland can go machine for machine with almost any striker in the 21st century. That's why I said the creme de la creme. I'm
Yeah.
talking about the Henrys, the Suarez, the
Yeah.
people that stand
Eto's.
very top in the 21st century. There's things he needs to work on to sit at that table.
Yeah, but I'll ask you on Monday, fam. Haaland versus RVP versus peak RVP. I had to test out for him, car. That'd be a decent fight, you know. But
Nah,
the
it
one
would
thing
be.
I would say is, though, if Man City had peak RVP beat today, they'd probably get 2 goals, fam. Because RVP could create out of nowhere, fam.
Peak RVP is probably like he's one of like the many strikers in the past that Pep would love for his team now.
Oh, he probably, if peak RVP was in the market, same time as Haaland, Pep goes for RVP.
Yeah, he probably does. Probably does, but then you're also seeing the trend towards big physical
Yeah,
strikers.
but RVP was 6'2" as well. He was also good in the air.
No, he was good in the air, but he's not a battering ram like what Erling Haaland is.
Yeah, things you don't need a battering ram. You just need someone who's adept at winning aerial
Like
duels.
Kai Havertz.
Yeah.
So I was about to say the top three managers, look at what they did for their attackers. Arteta, Havertz, Klopp, Nunes, Pep, Haaland.
Also, I'd argue RVP is better in the air than Havertz and Nunes, fam.
He's definitely better than Nunes. He's definitely better than Nunes. Like
I'm talking about
quite
in the
good.
air. In the air.
Havertz is quite good in the air. I have to give Havertz in the air. You know I'm a Havertz hater, but in the air, he's actually quite decent.
Yeah, so you think Havertz is better aerially than peak RVP aerially? Like, that's what I mean, fam. Because RVP was no slouch. He could hold his own against defenders, fam.
Nah, yeah, he definitely could. He definitely could. Look, peak RVP in this day and age, he'd be a baller, man. But
He's
the thing is,
ranking 30. Come for me. Come for me.
but this, sorry to bring about, this is why today's game pissed me off. Look at the type of ballers we're talking about. And then I watched today's game where there's a lot of high-level players, and I saw that attacking display. Like when we talk about the best players, we'll talk about defenders. Like, I'm not trying to be harsh to defenders. Yes, they're part of the game, but bro, like what's happening to the beautiful game? That's why I called it a snooze fest. And these attackers, they should never try that again.
Remember on Wednesday, the pod we did in free midfield, and I said it. Nowadays, we're getting attackers who can't strike a ball, and even the mid-table heroes back in the day, who you class as average players, here could actually strike a ball. Maybe they weren't as clinical as the better strikers, but they could hit a ball. You would trust them, to hit the target from 18 yards out. Nowadays, we're getting attackers who can't strike a ball properly, fam, which is annoying. How are you a professional attacker, you can't strike a ball properly consistently? That's my
Bro,
biggest pet peeve nowadays.
that's my biggest pet peeve. Another one of my biggest pet peeves is if you're a winger and you're in the final third, I'm not talking about the middle third or if you're getting the ball and build up. In the final third, you're 1v1 versus your fullback. I beg, go at him and dribble him. I saw it so many times today from both teams. To be fair, Doku was probably the one that actually did it the most, but his decision making is very poor. Where they'll get the ball, final third, and then they'll shimmy, 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 and then pass it back. I'm like, bro, go at your fullback because you're in the final third. You're where you want to be. Go at your fullback. It's a 50-50% chance. So stuff like that also annoys me. That's a big pet peeve of mine. I'll be
Yeah,
real.
Hondo, 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 Hondo. But
But
anyway, okay. Anything else you want to touch on for the Man City game, or you want to go to Liverpool?
nah, just look. I think I stretched that as much as I could because, bro, I was thinking, what am I gonna talk about? I'm not gonna spend ages talking about defenders. That's just not the bag. But moving on to the Liverpool game, before I get on to all your thoughts, because I know you watched it.
You guys' game going forward, no issues, but. You guys need to start close, like dead in games, as in like constricting teams to a point whereby they don't feel confident or even have the energy to try attack you guys. Because today, this is not the type of game you want in the running, fam. You want easy games whereby you win it by the 60th minute. Unless it's a big game, you should not be exerting yourself like that at home. Let's be real. Because for the running, preserving energy is paramount. As I saw with last season for Arsenal, as I said. If games become end-to-end and emotional, eventually you're gonna crash at the end. And that's what Arsenal did. So for Liverpool right now, main thing is, especially at home, start dead in games. Obviously, Sheffield United, that should be an easy 4-0, start possession 5-0, no issues, preserve energy. But after that, I don't know who your home games are, or even your away games are, but you guys need to try and dead games as quickly as possible, or even just keep control. None of this end-to-end stuff, because I think right here, was having too much fun, bro. Having too much fun. If it was way more clinical or better decision making, he could have really hurt you guys today.
No, I fully agree with that. I feel like going forward we were brilliant. If you like looking at XG, we should have won the game 3-0.
Yeah,
If
he made a 4-1-5-1
you
type
look at
thing.
the chances, Salah had way too many chances today for him to only score one goal. Diaz's goal that was disallowed, that was very,
Tight,
very
very, very
close.
tight.
So we created chances and going forward, we're the best team going forward in the league. If you look at the numbers, if you watch Liverpool, that's
Yeah.
undeniable. But I do agree with you that today's performance, I don't think it was as bad as what I was making it out to be during the game.
Wait, it's not that. It's just that it's tiring. You don't
It's
want to.
tiring and it's stuff that you don't need to do. I agree that we need to make sure that games, especially at home, we don't give oppositions a sniff. The only team that we can play it at home during this running that I expect to cause us some trouble, and I say some, not a lot, is Spurs, because they're a good attacking team. But every other team that we play moving forward, it can be a repeat of today. In terms of Adingra, first half, he was causing us way too many issues. Second half, I was happy with Connor Bradley and Kwanzaa, because I felt like they dealt with him very well. But I feel like that's another reason why today happened. We've praised Connor Bradley, we've praised Kwanzaa on this podcast, but then we also need to remember this is the first season. The youngster,
the under 22 as well.
So in the running, these things will show. So we need to get to a stage where these players are not playing that many games in the running. Trent, he's going to be back after the United game on Sunday, so I expect him not this weekend, the following weekend, for him to be playing. Ibu Konate, he was on the bench. I expect him to be back against Sheffield United and back against United.
Klopp needs to prioritize. Does he want Ibu to play on Thursday nights or just on the weekend? Because the reason why Ibu didn't start today, because I think Klopp is looking at Sheffield United at home on Thursday or Wednesday. So Klopp needs to manage that.
He had an extra rest day, and then also it's Ramadan as well, so he wasn't as sharp. So I think that that's also the reason.
Even going forward, because you guys are going to get to the final of Europa League. But Klopp cannot be having him playing on Thursday night and Sunday night, as we saw before international break.
When he played against Prague and got injured. Yeah. I fully agree. If he's going to do it, which I fully disagree with, if he's going to do it, 45 minutes max, I agree with you. He needs to prioritize. And I feel like we have enough good players to get past Atalanta and whoever we're going to play in the semi-finals without Ibu Konate, or without Ibu Konate playing the full 90 minutes. Because we saw against Manchester United, yes, I thought Kwanzaa played well, given the situation, but you saw how easy it was for United to get in behind him and Joe Gomez. Ibu Konate eradicates a lot of the issues that we're seeing on the right-hand side, because on the left-hand side, Liverpool are actually quite calm, to be
Because Van Dijk is eating everything, fam.
To be perfectly honest. But it was on that right-hand side against United, against Brighton today, and it's probably going to happen moving forward if we don't sort that out as soon as possible. So I do agree, Konate needs to come back as soon as possible, and his minutes definitely need to be managed.
Yeah, because since he's been in England, he's proven that he cannot play every three games. It's not in his anatomy to play every three games without breaking down, which is sad, but
that's given how young he is.
Yeah, which is even more sad for him, because at this age, he should be raring to go every 3 days without breaking down. Obviously, you get fatigued, the odd fatigue, but fatigue should be his only problem, not actually missing
games.
So for you guys moving forward, you have to prioritize the minutes for Ibu Konate. But then again, unless you come up against Leverkusen in the semi-final, it's set up that
if Leverkusen and Liverpool win their game, we play each other in the final.
You see the corruption that UEFA do. I think that's coincidence, you know.
They're hoping that that Alonso comes to Liverpool so that that can be like a storyline. But now he's not coming, and it's even still a storyline. But we'll get onto Alonso later on, because I need to talk about Alexis McAllister. I know
Alexis McAllister.
That's what you call a midfielder.
You dumb Arsenal fans, you were saying we shouldn't go for McAllister because not upgrade on ESR. God will punish you. Look, this is what we call a midfielder.
Proper midfielder. On the ball, he's superb. The amount of clipped over the ball.
It's his how robust he is. That's what I'm mostly impressed with. Because the question mark for him here was, how will he handle himself physically in playing for a bigger side? And this guy is one of your biggest dual winners, fam. Like he's basically a Gundogan light. That's a Gundogan light, fam. And I knew what I was seeing last season, fam. And I got gaslighted by Arsenal fans. They're saying that, he's not upgrade, fam. Look at you people. This is what we call midfielder, fam. Baller, fam. Baller.
He was the best player on the pitch, and he's everything. 100. He's everything I want in a midfielder. On the ball, he's always looking forward. He's always taking care of
passes.
Salah's goal. Bro, sensational. He's not playing hero ball. If it's not on, then he recycles the ball. He's very calm on the ball. He's very good taking the ball on the turn. In the final third, the amount of times that he'd be in between the lines, he will take it on the turn. But then he can take it on the turn with one touch and then play a pass with the second touch or shoot with the second touch. Just speeds up the game. And he was a joy to watch. And he has been since he's come back from injury. He's been our best player. He's been our best midfielder. And moving forward in the running, our midfield has to be him, Endo plus one. Has to be.
Now, even that since Endo got since Endo acclimatized yeah to the league and start week out, Akaza has been your best midfielder, man. Like every time I watch him, is like today yeah, he was so good. So every pass he was breaking lines with ease. He was getting stuck in. He refuses to get bullied, fam. He's always down for the duel, fam. And I can't believe people didn't clock this at the World Cup. He was more impressive than Enzo, fam. He was doing most of the dirty work, fam. But people didn't clock this, fam. People weren't watching closely. This is what I mean, aesthetic bias, fam. People were sucking Enzo's
dick. Nah, to be fair, Enzo was good. Let's like, I know.
I
know
he was good, yeah, but Mikasa was more of an enforcer.
Good. Oh no, he definitely was, but I'm not gonna use that to shit on Enzo. Enzo was fantastic in the World Cup, man. But
you want to be diplomatic, fam? You get me, fam? It's still for Chelsea, though. Bums.
No, Hondo, but McAllister today, like what a joy! And one thing that I like with McAllister, with Trent Alexander-Arnold, those balls from deep over the top to Musa in behind, McAllister does that a lot. And I can wait till we have Trent back and McAllister in terms of the creativity that we're going to have in that team. It's going to be overload.
The overload, man. Even Diaz is looking lively as well, man. He's looking more of himself. Obviously, I think Diaz will grab a lot of goals this running thing, because today, yeah, he was in the right positions. If it wasn't for that title cycle, he could walk away with a brace today.
Exactly.
I was impressed with Diaz today. Nunes.
Nunes today was one of his quieter games. But
it was quiet. But he still put himself about.
He still put himself about, and he wasn't annoying. So, look, we got the win. We're top of the league now. We play Sheffield United on Thursday before we have that game against Manchester United on Sunday. Like you said, we should really dispatch of Sheffield United. We should use that game to
boost up. If you guys don't, you guys should be aiming for six goals, fam.
Yeah, look, we should be aiming to boost it, because the goal differential between both of us now is six. So we need to close that as much as possible. Obviously, the win is the most important, since we have the point gap, but we should close that. And then we go to Old Trafford. And I want these players to respond, because what happened in the FA Cup was embarrassing. Yeah. We should have beaten them, but now it's in the league game where it matters. We need to take care of business. Just like when we played in the FA Cup and you should have beaten us and we beat you, and then in the league you took care of business. Yeah. Liverpool have to do the exact same thing with Manchester United.
Also, like with United, no matter how crap United are, they still have a deadly counter attack for them.
Of course, we can't underestimate it.
Like, they may be shit structurally. That's down to the coach, to be honest. But the attackers are still quite dangerous. Hoyland, Rashford, you don't want them
as Garnacho. You don't want to give them space in.
Garnacho, as I said, your right side is calm. Van Dijk will eat up Garnacho for him. As long as Van Dijk's having a good day, Garnacho's food. I'm talking on the right side. You need Konato and Konate fit, and Bradley needs to be on it, because Rashford is crap this season, but them runs off the shoulder still might be an issue.
Still a threat. Might twisted.
Yeah, Holland might pull into the right half space to try and, you know,
call drag some Konate out to create space for Rashford. Yeah.
So attacking wise, I trust you guys to cut United open. Every team is cutting United open here.
Every single team, literally, like
birthday cake. So it's up to you guys to not make it end to end. Because United will want an end to end game. That's how they can enjoy it. But if you guys pin them back and tie them out to the point whereby even the counter attack, they have no legs to make the most of it, then it would be easy 3 points. But down to how you guys are feeling on the day. If they go then and disrespect the game, it's going to be a repeat of the FA Cup tie. But going the professional, you come out with a 2-0, 3-0 win.
Look, let's see. And we have players coming back. I hope Jota is back for the United.
You need Jota, fam. Jota will kill games for you guys.
Curtis Jones as well. He should be back. So in terms of midfield, we're stacked. We have options. In terms of attack, with Jota back, we have options. But speaking of attackers, look, even though today his performance, I wasn't happy with it at all. Mo Salah does what world-class players do, man. Turning up when it's needed.
Wait, side note, Salah is at that age whereby performances don't matter, fam. Just put up numbers, old man. Fam, Ronaldo was doing it for Madrid in the latter years of Madrid, fam. Performances weren't that key, fam, but he was putting up numbers, fam. It is what it is, fam. The legs are going. Now, like, people to come to us like, the legs are going, fam. He can't be the Salah of 2018, 2020, fam. The legs are going. He's approaching granddad time. So, let my guy...
quite durable as well. Like this period, I'm pretty sure, was the longest we've actually been...
Yeah.
Salah, so
let my guy enjoy, fam. Let him put up numbers with no fam. As long as put up numbers, forget all performances, man. Because A shit Salah is still better than who we're gonna start on right wing, fam. A shit Salah is better than most right wings in the league, fam. So
It's
let
just
my man
still the best
cook.
right. He's still the best right wing in
Yeah,
the league.
fam.
Because look, like I said, his performance wasn't good. He got the winning goal, which was well taken,
Even
and he.
look at the assist for Diaz in this last
Yeah,
ball, fam.
exactly. I was about to say that was a brilliant pass. He nearly left with a brilliant goal and a brilliant assist. A goal and assist. He's had 25 plus goals and assists for 7 seasons. The
Every season he's been here.
only other players to have done that are Alan Shearer, the greatest scorer in Premier League history, and Thierry Henry, the greatest player in Premier League history. So look, that's the type of people he's in conversations with. So long may it continue, because Mane, when we won the league in 1920, he was the one that carried us on his back in terms of go ahead goals, equalizing goals, winning goals. He had the most for Liverpool. Salah now has to do that for us for this league title. It's in our hands, and he's our best player. He has to lead us to number 20.
Yeah. The main thing for you guys is to close up the leakages in your right hand side of the defense, and you should be fine because the running, you don't want to be leaking chances as much because the weird shit happens in the running, fam. Teams who are fighting for something here will play like rabid dogs. And if you guys do what you did today, you're gonna have a lot of ping pong or basketball games which are gonna tire you out, fam, for the
Yeah.
crucial period of the season.
Nah, defo. Before we round up, it's been announced that Xabi Alonso is going to stay at Leverkusen for another season, which I actually think, if I'm talking from a non-biased point of view, is the perfect decision. From a
Yeah.
Liverpool perspective, I find it annoying. But that means Liverpool's search continues. And the four names which have come up, both from fans and journalists, were De Zerbi, who had his audition today. He lost, but decent performance at Anfield. We'll dive into him. No Diddy. Ruben Amorim, Julian Nagelsmann, and who's the last manager there?
I see one is arguing.
Oh no, I didn't have Inzaghi here. So three: Nagelsmann, Amorim, and Roberto De Zerbi. Because I don't think Inzaghi is gonna come. His English is not that great. So for that already more or
Yeah.
less rules him out. But those three managers, and starting with De Zerbi, what do you think of his chances of being Liverpool manager? And do you think he's the manager that we should go for?
So based on what I've read, it seems like it's between Amorim and De Zerbi, and Edwards is leaning towards Amorim because he feels like he's similar to Klopp in terms of in some aspects based on what I've read, and De Zerbi's also been talk to you, so it's between them two because apparently Nagelsmann isn't going to be approached by you guys, so it seems like it's going to be between Amorim and De Zerbi. So for De Zerbi, yeah, if I was a Liverpool fan, De Zerbi would continue the great attacking football, scoring loads of goals and dominating games,
We
but
dominate
Amorim,
games more, put in possession.
yeah, but Amorim is more defensive, more about basically defend first then attack. He's less, you know, less gun holding Klopp or even De Zerbi per se. So it depends on what Liverpool want. Do you trust your defense to cover the amount of spaces that De Zerbi's system will make them cover, or go with a new direction of Amorim, who's a bit more pragmatic than what you guys have been used to for the past 9 years?
I out of both of them, I'd want Ruben Amorim. The reason why I wouldn't want De Zerbi, because I've seen what De Zerbi can do in the Premier League. Going forward, I think would actually be a lot more exciting. Because in
Yeah.
terms of like keeping the ball and dominating the ball, only City are better than Brighton. And Brighton are actually more direct than City. City pass the ball a lot more than Brighton do. In terms of passes per attack, Brighton's is are a lot more direct than City. However, like you said, in terms of defensively, even though his defensive record is not on an XG basis, is not as bad as you'd expect. Before this game, Brighton were the fourth best team in the league in terms of XG conceded. The only teams that were better than them were the top three sides. Obviously, after this game, they fell down because Liverpool battered them. But then I do feel that the fact that they've only had four clean sheets this season, that's relegation form, and I don't want that to continue because no, I don't trust our defense. I don't think we have the right profiles of defenders to be that expansive, but then to be competitive. So I feel like with Ruben Amorim, I'd rather him. What he's done, people forget he's only 39 years of age.
Yeah,
So
you're younger than a Twitter fan, which is nuts.
every weakness that you have with him, you need to cut him some slack. 39 years old for a manager, that's young. He's a baby. And what he's done in his first 5 years is nothing short of remarkable. If he wins the league this season, he would have
Two.
won a trophy. in four out of his first five seasons, brought Sporting's first league title in 19 years, won a cup with Braga, and I think in 13 matches, played the top four teams in his first 13 games, beat all of them, and he can win the league and the cup this season for Sporting Lisbon in a league where Benfica and Porto were the duopoly. And for you to break that, just like how Alonso's breaking the monopoly in the Bundesliga, has to be good. Yes, of course, he has his weaknesses. People have been talking about his pressing structure. People talk about how his team are massively over achieving the XG. But remember, he's 39 years of age. So if it was down to both of them, I'd want Ruben Amorim. But if it was down to me, I would want Julian Nagelsmann. And I want Liverpool to go all out to get him, personally.
Yeah, yeah. But if we're going off the news here, it seems that Edwards prefers Amorim over the candidates. And he doesn't feel like Nagelsmann is interested in the Liverpool job.
Which is fair. If he's not interested, then don't force it. I also don't want us to force it.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is in that regard. But yeah, in terms of Amorim, I think Liverpool fans will have to cut him some slack, because it's not like he's coming in. Then again, he's coming. He might be coming as a title winner as well, fam. Same way Alonso was going to come in as a title winner. So I think Liverpool fans, it depends on what they expect out of Amorim in his first season, but because his philosophy is so different to Klopp, I think he needs to be blessed with a transitional season, because he's less direct than Klopp, he's less direct than De Zerbi. But then again, he's young. He might think, why not just make things easier and just continue the attacking principles of Klopp, but also incorporate my defensive principles and just have best of both worlds. So it's one of those ones you have to wait and see if he comes in.
We have to wait and see. And I feel like regardless of who we got, we need to give them a transition season. Like I said to you in our group chat, even if Alonso came, I think he would have needed a transition season. Because yes, what he's doing in Germany is amazing. And I don't want to discredit that. I don't want to be a typical English fan and say, ooh, Premier League over Bundesliga. But competing against Pep Guardiola, yes, this pressure that we're seeing in the running. Look, at Liverpool have, what, 67 points, I believe it is?
Yeah,
and we're not clear in the league. We have two teams breathing down our necks. That is a different sort of pressure to deal with. And I don't think it will be fair to expect Amorim, Nagelsmann, Alonso, De Zerbi to come into this job and expect them to challenge for the league straight away and take it to the last day. But I would think they deserve some grace next season. And in the season after that, that's when the pressure might intensify a little bit, but I still think that they deserve time, and I hope Liverpool fans give them that. I'm a bit sad that we're trying to find the next Klopp. I feel like we need to develop. I feel like there's some aspects of Klopp's football that we should bring, but we shouldn't try to be the exact carbon copy. But let's see what happens.
Yeah. Also, for you guys, even in the next 18 months here, what do you guys do with Salah and Van Dijk? Because Van Dijk has 18 months off his contract anyway, same as Salah.
I think the most important person we need to worry about, I'll be honest, is Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's the youngest of those three. He's world class, and we have Real Madrid breathing down our necks. So we need to fend them away. They've already taken Tchouaméni. They're taking Bellingham. They're probably going to take Xabi Alonso. We can't have them taking Trent, because I think Trent out of all of them would hurt the most. So we need to sort out Trent first. In terms of Van Dijk and Salah, the replacement has to be thought of or be considered right now. We can't get to that stage where they leave and then
it has to be this summer.
It has to be this summer or in January, and they have to be bedded in, so that if there's the likelihood, or if it does happen that they don't want to renew their contract, then we have players coming in. There's the actual performance levels that we'd have to replace. There's also the leadership we'll have to replace, because Virgil van Dijk's our captain. Mo Salah is one of our captains. Trent Alexander-Arnold is our vice-captain. Three important players, three captains, three world-class players. So that's something that would have to be sorted out. But I feel like that's something that they're already sorting out at the moment, which is why we wanted to sort out the director of football and all of that before the manager, because we felt like that's more important, which it is. So let's see what happens. There's a lot that's going to change at Liverpool, and I'm excited for it. I just hope that the new manager is coming into a team that's just won its 20th league title. For you, Nana just gave me the thumbs up. But now it feels good, top of the league, bro. I know you man had it for the international break, but cheers for keeping it warm. We'll keep it up until game day 38.
Felipe was going to change a few times between now and last
Yeah,
night.
second and third place. You and City are going to be changing. But at the end of game weeks, we're going to remain top of the league. Don't worry, this quad talk is going to continue.
I hope you're still smiling and come 8, 7 p.m. next Sunday, fam.
Oh no, I'm definitely going to be smiling after beating one of our bitter rivals 3-0 away.
Let's see. Let's see,
Nah,
man.
let's see. Don't worry, I'll clip that, and then I'll put the highlight on TikTok.
Say no more.
But guys, this has been another episode of Views from the Box. Take care.